You are listening to the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation, a national nonprofit founded on the belief that every pregnancy deserves a happy ending. Learn more at starlegacyfoundation.org. Our guest for this episode is Anne Zamudio, producer and director of Don't Talk About the Baby, a first-of-its-kind documentary which explores the culture of shame and silence surrounding miscarriage, stillbirth, and infertility. This is Anne's first feature-length film, and if you haven't watched it yet, I highly recommend you do. It's available today on Vimeo or Amazon. Well, Anne, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I guess my first question for you is just about you as a person and your career and what led you down this path where you ended up producing and directing this documentary.
Well, this is my first feature-length documentary, and this was my first big project out of film school. And I was actually a late student going back to school to study film, and film was a big passion of mine. And actually, this is something that I mentioned to Amanda. I'm a pretty big twihard, which actually doesn't really seem relevant right now, but I really wanted to get into film later in life. Because I really liked Twilight, and I really liked the movie, and I really liked independent film. It really sparked a love for independent film for me, and that sort of got me going into indie film, got me going to film school. And when I was in film school, I had my my miscarriage. It was my pregnancy loss, and that got me really interested in this topic and started this documentary. And so really it's just that combination of independent film, film school, and the pregnancy loss, which really brought me to this documentary.
So was it your personal experience that led you to choose this topic, or what called you to choose this extremely heavy topic for your first feature-length documentary?
It was my personal experience. It was my first pregnancy, and I thought that when you get pregnant, you have a baby, and it's just that simple A to B situation. And I was just shocked when I had my pregnancy loss that this was something that could happen to somebody. I was otherwise healthy. I was young. I didn't realize that this was a thing. And looking back, I even remember saying to my doctor when I was going through my miscarriage, but I don't have a family history of miscarriage. And it's just ridiculous looking back and saying that now. But I had no idea about how pregnancy loss even worked. And so after my loss was completed, I wanted to research it more. I wanted to learn more about how this happens, who it happens to, why I had no idea that this was even a thing. And so that really got me started looking into it. And then, so the film was originally just supposed to be about miscarriage. That was in the very, very early stages. And then I reached out to the Star Legacy Foundation very early in pre-production, and I spoke with Shauna Libsack. And she pointed out that, you know, there's also a very large percentage of pregnancy loss that is stillbirth. And that hadn't even occurred to me yet. I didn't know that yet. And that brought me down the path of researching stillbirth and how common that is. And yet again, I had no idea about it. And so the rabbit hole just kept getting deeper and deeper, as it seemed. And when trying to conceive my next child, I also became very familiar with the world of infertility. We had a difficult time conceiving my daughter. And so I became very involved in these three worlds and seeing how they intertwined in terms of the stigma. They're not necessarily related topically. You wouldn't really think, you know, infertility, stillbirth, miscarriage, they seem like very different topics, but they seemed very related in terms of nobody wanted to talk about it. There was a big feeling of shame, a big feeling of embarrassment. And that's really what we wanted to look into.
In terms of weaving a story together, would it have been easier to just focus on one of the three, such as infertility, miscarriage, or stillbirth? Or do you think it was pretty natural and pretty easy to weave the story together of these three different topics?
It seemed very natural to me because, you know, we weren't just necessarily talking about how difficult infertility was or how difficult or sad stillbirth is. It wasn't necessarily the topics themselves, since we were delving underneath and looking at the roots of these issues, they all seemed to meld together very easily. When you looked under and saw the roots and saw how they were coming together, it seemed to come together easily for us. When we were actually putting together the narrative of the film, sometimes, you know, there were a couple hiccups making things fit together. But overall, I think it fit together pretty well. It seemed kind of natural.
How many people worked on the film and how long did it take?
Goodness gracious, how many people worked on the film? You know, we're a relatively small crew in terms of film crews, especially indie film crews. I'd say our crew in total was maybe about 40 people, and that's including pre-production and post-production, and it was over the course of about 4 to 5 years.
And was all of the money raised through the grassroots online channel?
The vast majority of it was. We had a couple executive producers come on towards the end just to help with some finishing costs. We had some grants that we were applying for that didn't come through, but the vast majority of it was crowdfunding, which was a really special part of this project. We ended up doing 3 campaigns total to raise pre-production, production, and post costs. And that was, I think, one of my favorite parts of this process of the film, is seeing how many people were so passionate about the film being made and how personally invested people were in it. And honestly, they hadn't even seen the film yet. You know, they'd seen some trailers that we put out, but there was a lot of trust involved in it and a lot of passion involved in it. And that was really impressive to us.
Yeah, it's hard for a lot of people to give money to something that's not tangible yet, something they haven't seen yet. Were you surprised with the amount of financial support that was given on a dream at this point?
I was very pleasantly surprised. I was honored with the trust that people were putting in us, especially because this was our first feature film. I like to think that people were this passionate about the content and about wanting to see just something to be brought to life for this community, because it's a very surprising thing to say, but this is the first film to cover this topic in this way. I've found some short films that cover the topics in just the way of, you know, bringing awareness to how tragic they are, but this is the first documentary to really look in depth at the social stigmas. And I think maybe there was just a desire and a need from the community to see something come. And I think a lot of people hoped that it would turn out well. So I think there was that part of it.
So going into the production of this video, you already had the personal experience of miscarriage and you knew about infertility, but I'm wondering, is there anything you learned, or was there anything that surprised you as you were creating this video that you didn't already know?
There is, and it was something that I learned after we did the public filming events in Minnesota, and it was something that I learned after watching Amanda Duffy's interview. I was very surprised and impressed, and it caught me off guard seeing the pride on people's faces when they were talking about their babies. I didn't expect it at all. You know, in pre-production and all the research for this film, we became very familiar with the topic of stillbirth and people's stories. People were sharing their stories with us via blogs and writing into us. So the topic was familiar to me at that point, obviously not personally, but I had read about it and I was very familiar about it, but it completely caught me off guard looking these lost parents in the face and seeing the amount of pride that was on their face. I did not anticipate that. And one of the things that I like to compare it to is if you talk to any new parent or especially any new mother, they always have a birth story. They want to tell their birth story. And I found that that was something that was denied to a lot of lost parents, a lot of people who've gone through stillbirth. Nobody really asks them their birth story. And part of the process of this public filming event is that people can sit down and tell their story from start to finish. And for a lot of these people, that is their opportunity to tell their birth story from start to finish. And there was so much pride on the faces of these parents just telling the stories of their children. Obviously, their stories had tragic endings and awful endings, but that didn't lessen the amount of love and pride that they felt for their children. So that definitely was surprising to me and caught me off guard. And I think it was one of the most beautiful surprises of the production.
So my wife is Amanda Duffy, for those listeners who don't know that. And one of the things she said when her quote unquote interview was over was that she was surprised that you either didn't ask her any questions or maybe asked her just one or two questions, and you kept it very open-ended and allowed her to just share the story in the way that she wanted to. Was there a strategy behind that?
You know, there was a strategy. I find that when you just let a little bit of silence into an interview and let somebody talk, you'll be surprised by what they say. And I think a lot of people are surprised by what they say. And I think you get a lot of really incredible moments from that. I think that when you ask too many questions, or it's just a way to guide the conversation a little bit more than I preferred to do for these. And then it was interesting, we did, so we had two rooms going in Minnesota at the time. And then we did a room in Hagerstown later, a couple years later, and we did one in Baltimore. And people, when they sit down, they say, well, you're not going to ask me any questions. I don't know what I'm going to be able to say. I'm probably not going to know what to say. And almost everybody, they sat down, they started talking, they went over the allotted time. Everybody, when you give them the opportunity, they knew what they wanted to say, and it just came out.
As you were creating this documentary, looking back, are there any unforgettable moments or any moments during the production that really made a significant impact on you?
I really hate to go back to it because it is your wife, and I don't want it to seem like I'm focusing on her because it's your podcast, but it was Amanda Duffy. Your wife's story and Reese's story, it's just a bit of a gut punch the way she tells her story. She's unflinching, she is courageous, and she is saying her name and that she is a stillbirth mother, and it just gets you right off the bat, and there's so much emotion there, and it's a very powerful interview, and I think that was one of my most memorable interviews of the whole production. And I think I mentioned before, you know, we were prepared for this topically. We knew what we were getting into in terms of the content, but sitting there and looking at Amanda while she's telling her story and holding up Reese's picture, it's a completely different experience. And just facing these stories head on is, it's a very important thing to do, and it sticks with you for a while.
For people who have never experienced pregnancy loss or infertility, I just envision them sitting at home saying, okay, let's watch something on TV tonight. What are we going to watch? I just am so hard pressed to think that they're going to choose a documentary that's so heavy like this. But if they do, for people who have never experienced this type of tragedy, what do you hope those people take away from this documentary?
I really hope that people take away from it that it's not who you think it is who's being affected by this. I think some of us have these images in our mind of who stillbirth affects and who infertility affects and who miscarriage affects, and it's really never who we think it is. And people don't really realize it's your family members, it's your coworkers, it's your friends. And because people are so hesitant to talk about this in normal conversation, it's so hidden, people don't realize who it is. And so I'm hoping that by watching this film, people understand who it's affecting, and maybe they're empowered a little bit to start some more conversations, maybe find out who in their life may be affected by this, and maybe reach out to them. And also, we hope that it's giving people the tools to have these conversations in a healthy and supportive way, instead of saying some of the awful platitudes that we hear so often. So I'm hoping that it's educational, and, you know, letting people know who this is, what it is, who it affects, and that, you know, it's not some big scary monster. It's not some taboo to talk about it. It's something that people want to talk about. I think the film's actually coming on to Amazon in the next couple weeks, so I think it's going to be a little bit more likely that people might just casually, you know, scroll by this film and say, "Ooh, what's this?" and maybe watch this on a Sunday night. And, you know, I almost feel like the description should come with a trigger warning, like, this is a heavy film. Like, this is not Saturday date night material.
So let's talk about that since you brought it up. So it was previously available on Vimeo for a small price to watch it. And how did this transition to Amazon happen?
It's just another streaming tool. Amazon is a platform that's relatively easy for independent filmmakers to put their work on. So Amazon is coming up next, and we're actually going to be moving the film from its location on Vimeo to just a slightly different Vimeo location, but it's going to give people the opportunity to give the film as a gift to people for, again, the very small fee. And we think that that's going to be helpful for people to share this information with people, you know, just as a way of saying, you know, this is something I might be going through. Here's a way to relate to it. And we think that it will help a little bit in spreading awareness.
So the documentary has been out for a few weeks now, and I'm curious what type of feedback you've received. Is it getting the traction you were hoping it would have received by now? What types of comments have you received as well?
It is getting some good traction. It's popular in the pregnancy loss and infertility groups. We're hoping that it expands outside of those groups shortly. But we're getting some good feedback. People are telling us that it really resonates with them and lets them know that they're not alone, which is really the highest praise that we could get. That was one of our goals with this, is people who are going through this to know that they're not suffering alone. And just hearing that this is validating to their experiences, we've heard that, and that's also a wonderful thing that we've heard.
How can people support you in terms of is there an opportunity to philanthropically give as the holiday season approaches to support you and this work, to extend their gratitude for the work that you've done on this documentary?
You know, we've had so many people over the years help the production by donating to the production and help this film be made. And we're so grateful to all of those donations. And at this point, if anybody wants to support the film, we would be very grateful if they did take that opportunity to give the film as a gift to other people. It's very important to us at this point that we continue to raise awareness. We continue to share those voices. We want to keep getting those stories out there. And we think that the way to do that is by sharing this film with people who you might not necessarily think would want to see it or would have an interest in it. But I guess the point of the film is you just never know. You don't know who it's affecting. So I think that would be a really wonderful way to continue to support us, which we're grateful for, but also support the movement and raising awareness by sharing the film with other people.
So what's next for you? Are there any other documentaries on the horizon, or are you taking a break right now?
I'm definitely not taking a break. This is a big passion of mine, and this is just what I'm going to be continuing to doing. Actually, I am going to take some small break, not from filmmaking, but from documentary. I'm just going to kind of cleanse the palate a little bit with some nasty, trashy horror film. I like doing little short horror films. So I'm gonna mix up some fake blood for a couple months. And work on that just as a little fun side project. And I've got a couple small shorts that I'm going to be executive producing on. But other than that, my co-producer, Krista, she's with Kilogram Productions. We're working on a new documentary web series that we can't talk a lot about right now, but it's just going to continue our work on breaking stigmas.
I can't think of anything more versatile than going from pregnancy loss to horror film.
It's so much fun, Chris. You would really like it. I've actually, because the low budget indie filmmaking world in the past, I've had to bring people onto my crews who have nothing to do with filmmaking at all. And people who, you know, PA on those and who help with those, they love it. They don't think that it's something that they would like, but I mean, when you're having an actress run through the woods in the middle of the night and you're like, action, pretend like you're scared. It's a lot of fun. You'd like it.
That's fantastic. I think my final question for you before we wrap up is your perception. You know, we've been talking about stigma throughout this conversation, but your perception around infertility and pregnancy loss, and are we making progress as a society in knowing that it's okay to talk about this stuff? And a lot of people who have experienced these traumas want to talk about this, and creating spaces where it's okay for people to talk about their pregnancy challenges and losses. Just from your anecdotal experience, what have you witnessed in this regard?
I think we are making progress. I think the amount of progress that we're making is directly related to how willing people are to have these uncomfortable conversations. I think it's one thing to say culturally that we're making progress. You know, we see Mark Zuckerberg talking about it, or Carrie Underwood, or James Vanderbeek. You know, when we see these celebrities talking about it, that's one thing. But I think seeing the stigma decrease is very much related to how willing we are to just open our mouths and say these uncomfortable things. And I think even people who are very familiar with the topics sometimes might find it difficult to talk about it in conversation. But just taking that uncomfortable step and having those conversations, I think that's where we're seeing the stigma decrease. And I think we're seeing a lot more people feel less uncomfortable talking about it. And just in my experience, I think I've been in some situations where I'll talk about the documentary about pregnancy loss to people who I would think would have absolutely no interest in it. They don't have any interest in pregnancy loss. And almost all of them have their own story, and they'll say, well, that happened to my sister, that happened to my mother. I was even talking to somebody just randomly on the street, and he just said, oh yeah, that happened. I was a twin and my mother lost my twin. And, you know, when you open the door to have these conversations, people are happy to have these conversations once you show them that it's okay. So I think that the change that we're going to see and that we are seeing, it needs to happen on a very localized level, on a very personal level.
And I cannot think of a better way to contribute to the decrease of stigma than to produce a first of its kind documentary about this topic. Thank you for choosing this topic. Thank you for creating such an incredible documentary. It was so powerful to watch it, and I really encourage any listeners who have not yet watched it to find Don't Talk About the Baby on either Vimeo or, and when is it coming to Amazon?
Hopefully in the next week or two.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with me for this podcast. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you, Chris. And I wanted to thank you also for your family's story being in the documentary and for allowing your daughter's story to be shared in the documentary. It was very meaningful and very powerful. And I know that it can't be easy having your story out there for the whole world. I think sometimes that might be a little intimidating to some people, but we are so grateful for how gracious you and Amanda have been. And we're very grateful for your participation in the film.
No, as you mentioned earlier, we're proud. We're just very proud to be a part of it and so happy that you chose us. So thanks again.
Thank you.
That's all for this episode of the Stillbirth Matters podcast, presented by the Star Legacy Foundation. I'm Chris Duffy. Thanks for listening.